Well, good morning. It is wonderful to have all of you here this morning. Please join me as we sing the doxology in its hymn number 549. Is hymn number 703. May you always be joyful in your life in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Show a gentle attitude towards all. The Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything, but in all your prayers, ask God for what you need, always asking Him with a thankful heart. And God's peace, which is far beyond human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 431, Open My Eyes That I May See. Number 431, Open My Eyes That I May See. Gracious God, we are so thankful that we can be here together to worship you in this chapel. And God, right now we call to mind the needs and requests of our family members, of our friends, of patients throughout this medical center, of the staff that is working today, of the family members that will be visiting. And God, along with that, we come before you with the needs that we have in our lives, the challenges that we face, the difficulties many times, God, which seem to be insurmountable. Lord, we lay those needs before you right now. And God, you remind us again and again how you always hear our prayers and that you accept us just the way that we are this morning. And we praise you for that. And God, as we celebrate, in one sense, the sacrifices of our fellow service members that have made the ultimate sacrifices in some circumstances, and God, in all circumstances, we all gave some in the service of this nation. And as we think about it, We celebrate the freedom that have been given to us through those sacrifices. But God, we also know that there was a cost. And that cost for many is still going on today in the losses and in the pain that we share through our various circumstances in which we served in peace and in war. And Lord, we'd ask that you would comfort us in our grief, that you would comfort us in the injuries that we have, both physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And God, we lift up the family members of all of the service members before, because they too, God, have shared in those sacrifices. They too, God, have shared in that pain. And Lord, we just lay those things before you. Remind us always of your presence, that you have never left us, and that you have never forsaken us. And God, we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 424, I Need Thee Every Hour. Number 424, I Need Thee Every Hour. Singing with me this morning. I can hear it up here. I'm glad you see that. I can have a sense of humor through all this. It's all good. Good stuff. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 8. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we are so glad that you have blessed us here this morning just by coming together to worship you. And God, you know of our hearts. You know of our imperfections that we have in our lives. But God, we know that as we come to you in worship, that all things are made perfect through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for that perfection. And God, I would ask that you would take my imperfections of this time of worship and make it perfect for each and every one of us. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, today is no surprise. The flags are out everywhere, and it is Memorial Day weekend. Now, those of us that have served our country in peace and war, we know what it's like to wear the uniform. Some of us have served more times in peace. Some of us have spent more time in war. But either way, we served our country when our country needed us, or when we felt that call to serve in our nation's armed forces. And here in the chapel, we are reminded every time we enter into this place, the service of others, the service of previous generations, the service of our generation. And we know that ahead, there'll be generations serving ahead of us. And so we are reminded here in this chapel because we have those remembrances. We have those remembrances that remind us that in the worst of times in our nation history, that there were times when prayer was needed. There are memories here that remind us of those that have made the ultimate sacrifice. Those, as we would call them as chaplains, non-combatants, that still gave their lives in the service of others on the battlefield. We are reminded of different cultures that our nation's military makes up, different backgrounds of people that have served our country in peace and in war, and that they are all Americans. And they wore the uniform with pride and distinction and with courage. In fact, in this chapel, there is even a picture of me serving our country, preparing to go to battle in one of our conflicts. And that is only here because our previous service chief was very proud of my service and thought it was important that I be included here in this chapel. And I have always considered that an honor when he did that. And each and every one of you that is here this morning with me, I consider it an honor that you are joining me in this time of worship to remember. Remembering those that we have served with. Remembering the losses that many of us have had because of our service. remembering our family members, for they too have borne the brunt of those of us that have served in so many ways that many times are not acknowledged the way that they should be, because it is through their support and through their sacrifice that many of us went when the calling came for us to serve our country. And they willingly supported that without opposition, without their own personal feelings being shared in such a way that would have not permitted us to serve. And you understand what I'm talking about, the relationships that we have with family members, that they too went along with us in supporting what we were doing for our country. This morning I want to talk about a different kind of remembering. Remembering that you and I have as followers of Jesus Christ. Remembering the fact of what Christ has done for us on the cross. Remembering the fact that you and I should always, every day, look around our daily lives and see the things that remind us of the faith that God wants us to have through Christ. We sang two hymns this morning in our worship already. Open my eyes that I may see, and I need thee every hour. And those hymns are appropriate for us to remember what Christ has done for us, because we need to have the presence of God to go alongside us, to open our eyes to the things that God wants us to see, the truth about our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. Many times our eyes become closed because of the different things that we are doing in our lives. And a lot of times our eyes are closed because of our own selfish pride, because of the things that we feel that we want to accomplish. And once again, the famous I statement that we use here in the chapel, the things that I want to accomplish, many times closes my eyes to the things that God wants me to see in my daily life. And God wants me to remember in faith in Christ, to look around to the many blessings that God has given me, to my family members, the blessings that I see there all of the time, and remembering the relationships that I have with them, to my friends, the people I serve with, the people I worship with. But I could not see those things if I was not doing my best to live in faith in Christ. And as I prayed previously this morning, we feel a lot of times that because we are so imperfect and because we can never get it right, that God never accepts us, never accepts our worship, never accepts who we are, because we know that it truly is garbage, as the Scriptures tell us this morning. But you see, God takes that imperfection and makes it perfect because of the faith that God wants us to have through Christ. You and I will never be able to worship God perfectly while we are here on this earthly realm, because that perfection will only come when we are truly transformed with God in heaven. And it is in that perfect place that we will have that perfection. But between then and now, we struggle with trying to understand our relationship with God, We struggle trying to figure out ourselves as we go along each day. And we sang the hymn, "I Need Thee Every Hour." And as we go along each day, we need to remind ourselves that we truly do need God, not just every hour, but every moment of every day. Because it is in that remembering that we have that solid foundation in Christ. And it is in that remembering, the knowing of God every moment of every day, that we experience and understand God in our lives. Because when we look for and with faith want to have that remembering of Christ in our lives, we understand the existence of the power of God in our lives because we can sense God's Spirit. We can sense what we are trying to achieve, not on our own, but walking with God, doing our best in our own strength. But we know that we can only do it with Christ's strength. C.S. Lewis once said that we don't know how truly bad we are until we try to be good. We don't know how truly bad we are until we try to be good. I know how bad I am because I've tried to be good. You hear what I'm saying on that? And God wants us every moment of every day to try to be good, because then we see truly how bad we are. We truly see in our imperfections how much we need to have that relationship with Christ. And in that relationship, we find something very unusual in remembering our relationship with God. God validates us as His followers. God validates us as His disciples. God validates us in the relationship that we are trying to have with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. And when we understand that validation that God gives us, we see how important we truly are, not in terms of how humankind measures being important, but in terms of the relevancy of our lives as we go through life, as we have contact with each other, we spend time with each other. It is in that relevance that you and I see that we have value in who we are in our relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's how we should measure who we are as His followers, is understanding that God loves you and accepts you and me just for the way that we are, not because of the education that we have or the things that we have attained in life, the property that we own, but because of the fact that we are a follower of Jesus Christ and we are doing the best that we can. We are trying not to be bad. We are pursuing wanting to be good. And it seems like a very simple thing. It seems like a very basic thing that we should be doing. But yet, it is so difficult. But yet, that's what God wants us to do. And in remembering, as we are going forward, we see that in our relationship with Christ, that the only thing that we can truly have that is meaningful, that gives us that purpose, is that relationship through Christ, is that faith that God wants us to have. And it is not within our own self-righteousness Because we know that as we have tried to be good, we see how bad we truly are, and we know that it's not righteousness that we can obtain on our own, but only the righteousness that we can find through Jesus Christ. And it comes from the basis of our faith in God, the things that we cannot see. Many times the things that we cannot understand, the intangibles about our relationship with God. But yet those intangibles become so valuable to us, because as we are walking with Christ, we see and we understand the power that Christ had in His life, the power that Christ had in His death, the power that Christ had in His burial, the power that Christ had in His resurrection, the power that Christ had in His ascension. And you and I have access to that same power because of the Spirit of God that is in your life and that it is in my life. But we can only sense that power when we understand that we have to become like Christ in all things. In all things. And we come to understand that as we walk with God. As we come before God in all truth and in all honesty, understanding God's grace for our lives. And that is where, in remembering, we take that imperfection and we add God's grace to it, and it becomes perfection in God's eyes. And we see the reward that comes to us, the knowledge and understanding that we gain as we walk with God, as we want to follow God. And in remembering those things, we see that within that acceptance, God wants us to have complete surrender. Complete surrender of our will. Because it is only during that surrendering of our will that we truly see and understand the full, complete knowing of Jesus Christ in our lives. And that is what God wants us to achieve. That is what God wants us to know. That is what God wants us to understand. Because then we truly see the access that we have to the power of God because of the presence of God that is in our lives. Understanding the things that God wants us to do according to His will and purpose for our lives. And when we look at our own individual lives, my following God's will be a blessing to everyone else that comes in contact with my life in some way, in some form, in some fashion. And in the same way, as you follow and pursue God's will for your life, you will be a blessing to all of the people that you come in contact with every day. Every day. Every day in which your eyes are open to see in the remembering of what Christ has done for you. Every moment when your eyes are open that you see how much you need God every hour and every moment of every day. It is in that remembering that we come to a deeper understanding of what it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And then we desire our will, everything in terms of who we are as a person that drives us forward, is sustained because of those things that we have achieved in understanding God walking with us every day. And we see that as we do that, we have an increased involvement more and more in the things of God. Our desire is to be more intimate with God, Our desire is to take time to be with God, to talk more with God, to trust God more. And then we see a deeper understanding and a deeper appreciation as we follow God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And then we can see through those circumstances that we have in our lives that there's nothing that can be overcome if we are following God's will. If we understand that within our own lives there is nothing that we can achieve, there's nothing in terms of success that we can obtain that can be truly satisfying unless it is through the faith that God wants us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And when we do that, when we have that moment, when we have that moment of revelation, when we have that epiphany moment, when we see and understand the truth that God represents Himself to us, and it's only something that you experience in terms of your own individual personal walk with God. And that's what God wants us to have in remembering Him all of the time. So as we go forward today, as we go forward to tomorrow, remembering our comrades that have served this nation in peace and in war, remembering their families as well in terms of the sacrifices that they have made. Then we also remember what Christ has done for us on the cross through faith. And in doing so, in remembering what Christ has done for us, we honor and we understand the sacrifices that we have made, the sacrifices that others have made, because we see things through the eyes of Christ. Amen. Let us take a few moments and prepare our hearts for communion. And it is such a wonderful opportunity when we do this, because we publicly make that statement of our faith in Christ. We publicly say to everyone around us that we are trying to be good. And when we do so, we realize how bad we are. Let us pray. God, we are so thankful that You have brought us all here this morning just to remind us in remembering the sacrifice that You have made for each and every one of us. And God, the scriptures of John 3:16 comes to mind. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Lord, we just call upon that right now as we publicly take this communion together as a body of believers in Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You, God, for forgiving us of our sins and loving us just the way we are. Amen. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Please join me in our closing hymn, number 416, "I Was Sinking Deep in Sin." God, you have reminded us of your love. And God, you have reminded us that when we love, success follows in our lives. And God, I would ask that you would help us to love the way that you want us to love through your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, in doing so, we know that success will follow as we walk with you. Help us to do that. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming. It is wonderful to have you all here this morning, and I'm glad to say that we don't have any back row Baptists here, except for those two guys in the back, but that's okay, that's acceptable. Please join me as we begin by singing the doxology, which is in your red hymnal number 549. Number 549. Worship is hymn number 691. This is how God showed his love for us. He sent his only Son into the world that we might have life through him. This is what love is. It is not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the means by which our sins are forgiven. Dear friends, if this is how God loved us, then we should love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made perfect within us. This is how we are sure that we live in God, and he lives in us. He has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and tell others that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever declares that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he lives in God. Amen. Please join me in our first hymn this morning, and it's hymn number 278, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Hymn number 278, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
thank you for making that joyful noise with me this morning. It's always good when we can sing together. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that you have brought us here together physically, but God, more importantly, you've brought us here together spiritually to worship you. And Lord, part of that act of worship is for all of us, collectively and individually, to offer our prayers to you about the needs and the requests that we have in our lives. And God, you remind us as we come to you in spirit the things that we need to pray about. Friends, family members, people throughout this medical center, the patients, the staff that are working, the family members that will be visiting. God, also you call to mind things of events over this past week. And God, I think of friends that have lost loved ones this week. I lift them up to you in prayer. I would ask that you would comfort them in the loss that they have had. And God, that they would remember their loved ones fondly, and that their memories would remind them of the love that was showed and demonstrated while they were together. And it is in that hope, God, that we see our loved ones in the future when we will be reunited to them in heaven. And Lord, we thank you for that. And God, as we think of the needs of this city, of this state, of this nation, of the needs that come to mind right now that are in the world in which we live, Lord, we lift those needs up to you right now. We ask that in a very special way that you would intervene with your spirit and with your presence, and that you would remind us and others that under the worst of circumstances, that you have never left us and that you have never forsaken us. And God, we call upon that promise in faith as we pray together. And we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is 297, On a Hill Far Away. Our scripture reading this morning is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on the tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ before God, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, Lord, it is so good that we can be in your house this morning to worship you. And Lord, I would just ask that you would help me say the things that we all need to hear so that we can draw closer to you and walk with you every moment of our day. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I attended some training that I put together with some people to present leadership in a specific way. And the group that the training was taking place with was a group of chaplains and chaplain assistants and chaplain candidates. And I had asked my former commanding officer, who is a retired Marine Corps colonel, to come and do some training on leadership. And I asked him specifically to present it in such a way that it has nothing to do with theology or philosophy, but in a sense, an academic assessment of what servant leadership truly is from a practical application. And he said, that's a tough request that you've given me. And I said, well, sir, I know that you can handle tough requests. And so he put together a small training module. And one of the key elements of the training module, as he presented leadership to this chaplain corps in which I am a part of, he stressed three things. One, as a leader, you have to have confidence in what you know and what you believe in. The second element of that is that you have to have confidence, and that you get your confidence from the competence that you have been able to obtain. And the third part of that is that because you have competence that leads to confidence, you are able as a leader to make decisive decisions for yourself and also for those that you are leading. So the essence of that was competence, confidence, and decisiveness. And he stressed the fact that that cycle goes on. It's an ongoing process. That as leaders, the competence continues. The learning process never stops. Because if your competence stops, if your learning stops, then your confidence begins to wane. It becomes less and less. And if your confidence begins to wane, then the decisiveness of your decision-making process becomes less and less. And you find yourself in a situation where you either are unable to or you can't make the right decision in a timely manner. Powerful stuff. And so the scriptures that we have read this morning is regarding the competence that we have to have in our relationship with Jesus Christ. So that's where we need to begin. So I ask you and I ask me that question, what is the confidence that we have in Christ? Are you confident? And am I confident in my relationship with Jesus Christ? Because if we are confident in what we believe in as followers of Jesus Christ, then you and I will be confident in our daily walk with God, in our following of Jesus Christ. And when we are in situations where we need to make important and crucial decisions in a timely manner, we will make them decisively because of our confidence that we have in Christ, that gives us the confidence that we need to have to make the decisions decisively, because we know that we are following the will of God for our lives. So how is your confidence today? Your confidence in Christ. And that is important, because our confidence comes from the experience of knowing Christ. So I need to ask, do you know Christ? Do I know Christ in a way that gives us that reassurance and knowledge to be competent as a follower of Jesus Christ? And if you have that knowledge, if you are growing in that confidence in Christ, then you and I should exhibit, and we should be able to validate our relationship with God through His presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And as we validate the presence of God, as our confidence grows in what we do and how we follow Jesus Christ, then we see and we understand the truth that Christ represents to us, and it becomes irrelevant. The confidence that we have in Christ is valid, but not only that, it is also relevant to our lives. Everything we do, everything that we say, because if it does not reflect the relevance of who we are as followers of Jesus Christ, then we truly do not have a confidence and truly understanding in what it is to be a Christian. Because it has to be relevant. It has to be valid. It has to be experienced. Because if it is not any of those things, then we truly don't have the confidence that God wants us to have through His Son, Jesus Christ. And as we have read the scriptures here, the letter is to the Corinthians, specifically asking them, do they exhibit the confidence that has been shown to them by the instruction and by the training that they have received, by the lives that they have seen led in their presence? Because it doesn't come from a letter of recommendation or introduction. On the contrary, it comes by the exhibit of their lives. The other day, I had to write a letter of recommendation for someone, and I wrote those things that I knew about them truthfully and honestly. And in my recommendation letter, I talked about the qualifications. I talked about who they were as a person. But it was those things that I experienced personally. It wasn't something far off, something beyond, if you will, just their credentials, but just who they were as a person. And in the same way, the recommendation here is not from a letter of recommendation, not something that is written, but something that comes from the heart, something that is exhibited in how they present themselves to others, because it reveals the confidence that they have in Christ. Because in our confidence, we see the knowledge that God wants us to have. So when we enter into that knowledge, we come to a deeper understanding of Christ. And when we are performing the daily tasks of our lives, not only do we validate that relationship, but we also demonstrate that relevance. And we do that by introducing others to Christ through our own lives. Now, one thing I need to stress here. You and I will never be perfect in this process. Does God ask us to be perfect? Yes. But God knows that we will never be perfect. And it is in that imperfection that God tells us one thing again and again and again, is for us to never give up in our relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because in doing so, keep trying, keep going on, keep going forward, we truly are exhibiting the confidence that God wants us to have through His Son. And because of our own self-imperfections, and people see that we're working on those imperfections, we introduce others to Jesus Christ. It's not the perfections that people see in us that bring people to Christ. It's people seeing the imperfections of our lives that we are working on with the help of God, through the presence of His Holy Spirit in our lives, that brings others, that presents that personal introduction to Christ. Think about that for a minute. It is your imperfections that God uses. It is in my weaknesses that God uses others so they can be introduced to Jesus Christ. And I think it's important for us to know that. Because as we are pursuing our desire to have a confidence in Jesus Christ, we find ourselves in situations where we know that we have to surrender our will to God. And as we talked about before, that whole idea of confidence, and decisiveness only truly comes when we surrender ourselves to what we believe in. When we understand that as we surrender our will to God's will, it is to make us better. The only thing that gets in the way between you and God is you. The only thing that gets in my way between myself and God is myself. And when we personally surrender, once again, we are doing the things that we need to do to increase our confidence. We are experiencing Christ when we surrender. We are validating our relationship with Christ when we surrender. And we are demonstrating the relevance of Christ in our lives when we surrender. Because we are showing in our lives that as we increase in confidence, we become intimate with God. We become knowing God more and more through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we achieve, not through our own design or not through our own strength, an excellence of knowing God in Christ. Because as our confidence increases, we will see in our own lives, as we participate in the world in which we live in, we will have a sense of confidence because of what we believe in, a sense of courage of what we believe in, a sense of understanding that as we introduce others to Jesus Christ, we will be able to do so in such a way that we will not be afraid of our message. Because we will tell them through the story of our lives. The Corinthians were showing and demonstrating what they believed in Christ by the story of their lives. In fact, the header this morning on what is being preached here in the chapel is simply this: Chapel Service Story Today. We are sharing in a story today And in that story, we are trying to pursue and increase our confidence in Jesus Christ. We are trying to pursue that excellence in knowing Christ. And we do that because as an act of worship, we come together, we praise God, we sing hymns, we pray to God, we listen to His Word, and this is our story today in this chapel. Our story today is for us to increase in our confidence in knowing Christ, because we know that that is the beginning point. If we want to make our lives better, we do so by increasing our confidence in Christ. Because as we increase that confidence, we have access to deeper depths of understanding the presence of God in our lives. And as we get deeper in knowing God, we just see again and again the validation, the relevance, the knowledge that we have, the acceptance that we need to make. And we actually begin to surrender more things in our lives because we begin to hunger and thirst for the knowledge of knowing Christ closer, intimately. And in doing so, we achieve an excellence in our lives. Not in a sense of excellence that the world measures, but the excellence that you and I can achieve in being followers of Jesus Christ, following our true course, following our true path, not in the things that we do, but who we are in our own individual, personal identity in our relationship to God. It is not those things that are on the outside, but it is the personal identity of who we are on the inside and in which we should seek the excellence that God wants us to have. So consider these things today and this week. Consider your confidence in Christ. How is that confidence doing? How is that confidence growing? What are you doing with the confidence that you have in Christ? A key indication of your confidence in Christ is your confidence in Christ. If you cannot be confident in your relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, then you need to grow and increase your confidence. And it is something that I am doing every day to increase my confidence. Because I know that in my own individual life, there are times when I lack confidence in Christ in certain situations. And that tells me that I can be more confident in knowing Christ. So I too am working on my confidence. So when we are faced with situations in our lives, our confidence needs to be increased if we don't feel that we have the confidence that God wants us to display in those relationships. So it is my hope and prayer this morning that as we have told this story today in this chapel, that it will be exhibited in your own personal lives. Because in doing so, you are demonstrating in your heart and in your actions the confidence that you have in Christ through your own personal story. Amen. Let us take a few moments and prepare our hearts for taking communion together as we just confess to God, as we just surrender to God, as we just talked about, our desire to increase our knowledge of our relationship with Him so that we become more competent in the things of God. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we are so thankful through this entire time of worship that we've been sharing a story of our relationship with you through your Son. Lord, as we celebrate communion publicly together, it is a testimony that each and every one of us here has a desire to become more competent in you. And God, as we do this, we surrender to your will. Forgive us of the things that have separated us from that competence in knowing you. Forgive us of the sins that we have done that has interfered with us truly demonstrating the relevance that we have in you. Thank you, God, for this time that we can do this. In Christ's name, amen. I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn this morning is number 303, "I Serve a Risen Savior."
I serve a risen Savior. He saved the world today. I know that he is living forever, never forsake. I see his hands of
Because if Christ is living in your heart, you truly have the beginning of the competence that God wants you to have through His Son. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that You have allowed us to share this story with each other, and You've allowed us to share this story with others. And God, we praise You for that. Help us, God, to be more competent in You in all things. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.